Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has chosen you to be his own. Amen. I want to use our Old Testament reading as part of our text for today for the message that I want to share with you. And here in Deuteronomy 7:6, you hear these words, "The Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Probably have heard in the news, probably not too long ago, I think it was a month or two ago, they had an announcement. The NBA, of course, had their NBA draft. And as they announced the different players for the different cities and teams, probably heard this one. The Oklahoma City Thunder choose Ade Mara. He's a 7'3" center from Michigan, chosen to be a part of the Thunder basketball team. Well, after last year and having to go against, what, a 7'4 gentleman from San Antonio, I think the Thunder is hoping by choosing this 7'3" center, maybe this can make a difference for them. They chose him, of course, because he has special abilities, playing basketball, no doubt. Certainly his skill is something they have observed, they have seen, and they like what they see. But no doubt his height makes a difference too. Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things I think that hurt things last year a little bit, but he's being chosen with certain expectations. He's been chosen so that hopefully there can be a good result for the Thunder team this coming year, and maybe they can get themselves back to another championship and maybe even do better this time around. But as he steps into this role, you know what's going to happen. He's going to be watched. He's going to be scrutinized. Everything he does is going to be seen with the outcomes that he can bring to the team and to the game. Well, and he lives up to that. If he lives up to everything that they see, then the fans and the owners, the coaches, and the team will all say, "All right, this is just what we needed. This we've chosen the right individual to make a difference." And for Mara, hopefully it might make things lucrative for him in the years to come. It might be very helpful. But if not, if he doesn't live up to those expectations for which he was chosen, you know what probably is going to happen? He'll get traded. He'll have to move on somewhere else. And who knows? It's a tough thing. It's a lot of pressure to be chosen, to be put in a situation like that. I'm glad I'm not 7'3", and I'm glad I don't have those basketball skills, because that would be a lot of stuff to live up to. But you know what? It's an honor to be chosen. Now, I want to focus on that word today and think about that. We hear that in the Old Testament about being chosen. But at different times in our life, we have hoped to be chosen. Maybe when you were in grade school and they were picking teams to be on the kickball team. Now, that's one of the things that we did when I was in grade school. You were hoping they would pick you before it got to the end. And they're like, "Okay, I'll take Myron. I guess no one else will take him." You don't want to be chosen that way. You want to be chosen because maybe they are seeing something in you. Well, today, as we talk about that word, as we think about chosen, here's the good news I want you to hear today. God chose you. God chose you with no expectations. He chose you to be his forever. Just the way you are. Just the way you are right now. He says, "You are mine." So we're going to explore that idea about being chosen and look at it in three different ways. Chosen, first of all, to be his own, to be part of his family, to be part of who he is. You are chosen to receive so many wonderful things, so many treasures and gifts that he wants to pour into your life, chosen for that. But the third thing is chosen to live as his people, to live under his kingdom, under his guidance, and under his direction. Chosen to be, chosen to receive, and chosen to live. Well, let's talk first a little bit about chosen to be his own. You remember, or you heard the story a little bit about what God had said to the children of Israel. To do a little background, they had made their journey from Egypt all the way to Canaan. They didn't do so good. They weren't really sure if they could go into the land of Canaan, so they had to wander for 40 years, and Moses put up with them all that time. And now guess what? Now is the time to go into that promised land that God had promised them. Now they are ready, and before they go, we know because of some of the things he had done. Moses isn't going with them, but he wants to leave them with some very important instructions and guidance. So this is his final speech. This is his final encouragement to them. And he says, "The Lord has chosen you to be his people for his treasured possession." Think about that. Treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, he has chosen them. So this is what Moses wanted them to know, that they were special, unique. He wanted them to pass that on for generations. God has selected you to be his own for this purpose. And why did he choose them? He chose them because it was going to be through them that the message and the way of salvation would be made known. Because as we know, through this people of God, eventually would come the ultimate Savior. He had guided them in how they should live their life, and when they sin, how they should repent and go to the temple. But now that was going to be carried on. This is how you are to live as God's people. So in that same way, as we think about that, as we hear what Moses had shared, I want to share with us today, for you and me, that we are special and unique. Like I say, we don't have any of those wonderful abilities, but because of who we are, God says, "I choose you. I choose you to be part of my people, my holy ones, the treasured ones. You are treasured to God. You are special to God. We are treasured to be his own." And the wonderful thing for us, too, is that we get to show others that way of salvation, to pass that on so they know that it's believing in Jesus that we have that life eternal. God has chosen us to pass that on. He says, "I choose you to walk with me." Not because you are a wonderful athlete, that you're the smartest person in the room, or you have incredible gifts. I choose you because I want to be with you. I want to love you. I want to care for you. I want to guide you in the way you should go. You know, and the wonderful thing about God is he knows us. He knows us inside out. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our limitations. He knows our sinfulness. He knows we can never fully live up to all that he would have us to be. But he still loves us. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And here's the wonderful thing about our God. Just like he did for the children of Israel, he wants to be with us. He wants to walk with us. That's what happened even at the very beginning. Adam and Eve, he created them so he could be a part of their life, to walk with them each and every day, to guide them in how they should go. Of course, we know what happened. There was the fruit that was eaten and the hiding that they did from God. And God was asking, "Where are you?" Because he wants to be with them. He wants to walk with them each and every day. But they felt, because of their sin, oh, they've ruined something. But he clothed them. Clothed them not only with the animal skins, but with his righteousness, so they could still be his holy and righteous people, that he could walk with them. And that's what he does with us too. He chooses us to go with him. Even in the Gospel of John, if we look ahead to the disciples, here's something that I think is important for us to always remember. Here's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, "You did not choose me. I chose you." He reminds us that it's God who chooses us first, before we even realize who he is. It's grace that he says, "I want you to be with me, to be part of my family. I've created you to be mine." God chose us, and we know him by faith. We know him by the faith that the Spirit enables in our hearts and minds to know and respond to his love. He chose us, gave us his Spirit so we can walk with him. And here's the next part that is such a wonderful thing. As chosen ones, we are promised more than we could ever imagine, more things in our life that gives. And we'll see that, we saw that a little bit in the gospel reading for today, that, you know, there is a treasure called the kingdom of heaven that God wants to pour into our lives. He wants to fill our lives with the gifts of forgiveness, with life, with salvation. He wants us to know all about that, to know how important it is, how invaluable that is. That is the greatest treasure that we could ever have, that we have been chosen to receive that as his people. 1 Corinthians, Paul, I think, identifies this in a wonderful way. He says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's what he's looking for us, the love that we can give back because of the love he's given to us. You know, we love because he first loved us, and as we love, as we pass that on to others, we can't imagine what else he wants to put into our lives. You heard in that gospel reading today where it was talking about the gifts of the kingdom, talking about a pearl that was very valuable. And here we have a pearl collector. He's looking all around. He's wanting to find just that perfect pearl. And finally, one day, there it is. The ultimate, the very best pearl of all. So what does he do? He gathers everything he has. He sells it so he has the money to buy that pearl so it can be his. He knows the value of it. He wants it to be his forever. And that's what he does. And we see it expressed in another way. Similar to that, there's a gentleman going out in a field, and suddenly he comes across this great treasure. And this thing is just amazing. As he sees it, he says, this is it. This is what my life is all about. I have to have that treasure. And again, what does he do? He takes everything he has. He sells it off. He collects whatever money he can and buys that field so that the treasure can be his. And that's something that God wants to provide to us, that treasure of his kingdom, which Jesus brings through his death and resurrection, the treasure of forgiveness, a treasure of eternal life. Because what did Jesus come to do? He came to give us life to the full. That's what he wants to give us. Jesus was talking with a woman in Samaria, if you remember that story. She comes up to him, he's at a well, and she comes up and is speaking with him. And as she comes up, she knows that she's has these problems, has these issues. There are shortcomings and faults that are a part of her life. But Jesus says to her, he's loving on her and caring for her, and he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink of water, you would have asked and he would give you living water. And that's what she says. She says, give me that water. I desire to have that. And we know who Jesus is. We know what he can give to us. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to ask for, Lord, pour into my life all of your grace and glory and mercy that you have. Because you and I, we're like that woman. We're sinful human beings. But God knows us. He knows us in and out. And he continues to say to us, I love you. I forgive you. When we confess our sins to him, he says, I belong to you. In the waters of baptism, we stop and we remember that he has washed those sins away. And that we belong to him and we're his forever because of what he has done for us. Once again, Paul in the book of Philippians, he expresses a wonderful thing about knowing Christ and how important that is to him. Now we know Paul, of course, he was the one who went around persecuting and killing Christians. But things suddenly changed when he was on the road to Damascus. I mean, he had a great position. He was ranking high amongst the Jewish leaders. But on that road, he got a call. He got a call from God. Jesus encountered him on the road. And here's what Paul then tells the church in Philippi. He says, but whatever gain I had, I count as loss. For the sake of Christ, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Do we look at that relationship with God in that way? Do we look at his grace and mercy in that same way? Are we willing to put everything aside just to know him more and more in our lives and to receive those wonderful gifts from him? I'm sure you're probably familiar with our Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler. Every Sunday he's sharing a message, and during the week he usually has a devotion related with one of the readings, and he has a devotion this week on the parables of the kingdom. And he has an interesting perspective that he has taken on this idea about the treasure. He says another way to look at that is the treasure in the field, the treasure of the pearl, is you and me. We're that treasure to our Heavenly Father. We're our treasure to Jesus, so much that Jesus went to the cross to purchase us back. He gave everything up so that we could be his. He gave his blood so that we could be set free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. In that, he's saying to us, you are of great value. I love you. I cherish you. I will do whatever it takes to build that relationship. And in the meaning of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, Luther reminds us just how important and valuable we are. Here's what it says there. It says, he, Jesus, has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold and silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Being chosen, what a special thing. He has chosen us to be his through his death on the cross. And being chosen motivates us to live a life of service, knowing just how much we care, we value, or he cares about us. That's what it should do, is motivate us in how we live our lives. Because we are chosen to be God's people, to live a life of service. In Genesis 18, Abraham is the one who is identified as chosen by God. God says, I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised. He has chosen him to keep the way of the Lord, to show future generations how to live. And that's exactly what Moses has told the children of Israel. He says, know therefore that the Lord your God is a faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He encourages them to live a life of love, to keep going, to pass that on. And again, you and I, we have been chosen by God, not just to sit back and say, oh, wow, wonderful, what a great gift I have received, but to make a difference in the lives of others, to pass that on to the next generation, to let them know about this love of Christ, to let them know how important and valuable they are to him, so they can have that in their lives too. So we have to ask ourselves, who can I tell? Who needs to know that value that they are to God? Who can I pour that into their lives? We did not choose him, but he chose us to be his own, to receive his wonderful gifts of life, forgiveness, and salvation, and to live our lives as his holy and dear children, that we might be his forever. And it's his name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.